Today on Marianne McPartland's Piano Jazz, we remember pianist, composer, and arranger Gerald Wiggins. He passed away in the summer of 2008. Wiggins was an extraordinary and versatile pianist and in-demand sideman for everyone from Louis Armstrong to Lena Horne. He was Marianne's guest on this Piano Jazz program in the spring of 1992.
I've been looking forward to this for a long time.
So have I.
And I've been listening to your Maybeck Hall solo album. It's really nice.
Thank you.
Isn't that a great hall to play in?
It was wonderful, yes. Good piano, good acoustics, everything is wonderful there.
Good crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know you live out here now in California, but originally you're from New York.
Mm-hmm. Born and raised there.
Where?
Harlem. Well, 4 West 129th Street.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Harlem was such an interesting place. It's the place you always think of when you think of great jazz musicians and great players and some of the terrific clubs. Where did you actually start playing? I mean, with your family? Did you play at home?
My mother made sure I took lessons, and she had me playing classics till they were running out of my ears.
Oh, really?
But by the time I got old enough to go to work, I found that there was no place for me in classics at that particular time. So I just gravitated to jazz.
You mean just like that? You just heard something you liked? And
no, I went to the High School of Music and Art, and Benny Goodman and Teddy Wilson used to come up like on Fridays and give little mini concerts. And that's when I fell in love with Teddy Wilson.
Oh, my God, I fell in love with Teddy Wilson 2 years ago, before I ever came over here in England, listening to those Benny Goodman trios and quartets. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd take a record and sit down and try to play some of those things Teddy.
I know. Well, that lasted until a cousin of mine brought me a couple of records of Art Tatum. And out the window went Teddy, because I couldn't believe that one man was doing all this on the piano. And I didn't rest till I got a chance to meet Art. Well, that was a high point of my life, I guess.
Before we go on, I'd love to hear you play something.
So all right.
What do you think? What's coming up?
This old tune I remember from years ago called If It's the Last Thing I Do.
If It's the Last Thing I Do. Great. Okay.
All right. Okay, here we go. Thank you.
know, I haven't heard that tune for ages.
Well, that's an oldie.
Yeah, but that's one of the real good ones that somehow gets forgotten, you know.
Well, it gets lost in the shuffle.
But, well, how do you pick tunes? I mean, do you sort of look through old sheet music or just go in your head? And
just in my head most of the time. I don't remember to them. When they come up in my head, I say, okay, I'll try that one for a while.
It's funny. I learned millions of tunes hearing bands on the BBC. How did you learn things? Just by ear?
No. I'd go to the store and look at the sheet music and try to memorize it and run home right quick.
And then walk
play
out?
It. Yes.
You know, I've done that a few times. In fact, sometimes I browse through a store because I can't think of any tunes to play.
Mm-hmm.
You see all these things, thinking, gee, why didn't I think of that one? But that is a real good one.
Yeah.
But you've done so many different things. Didn't I meet you at the Cookery years ago?
Oh, yes. I was working with Helen Hughes.
I was trying
to
think where we met, and I think
that's right, probably with Helen. Mm-hmm.
With Helen, because, I mean, you're just a wonderful accompanist.
Thank you so much.
Well, I mean, I've heard you doing it with different singers, but especially Helen. I mean, when you started, did you go right into that, or did you play with bands or groups? What did you do?
Oh, I played with quite a few groups. I worked with Benny Carter's band most of the time. And in around New York, in fact, one of my first jobs was with the DeParis brothers at Ryan's.
Oh, no kidding. You know, I guess it makes me kind of proud to think that I did work with those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they were terrific musicians, weren't they?
Oh, they were great. I was still in high school at the time. I wasn't supposed to be working, but I worked anyhow. I took a shot at it.
I remember that club so well, Jimmy Ryan's. It's a shame some of these good places, we'll never know places like those again. They mm-hmm. were just so wonderful.
Yeah, that's when New York was a great town then.
Yeah. Boy, thinking about it. Well, it would be nice to hear another solo. Edie is a Sweetie, is that one of yours?
Yes, there's a little story behind that.
Oh, really?
I was working in Paris with Helen Humes, his promoter. I was getting married, and his girlfriend was named Edie. So on the spur of the moment at the session, I made up this little tune, and they seemed to like it, everything. And when I got back to Europe a year later, they'd been divorced. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, my God. See, that'll teach you to write a tune for
something. That's right. In fact, that's what you told me. Don't write any more tunes, Wig.
It's funny. I used to have so many people that were going together, coming in the Hickory House. Remember that place?
Oh, yes, of course.
And it seems that all the people that were the courting couples that were coming in there, as far as I know, they've all stayed married. I see so many people that would say to me, oh, I was going with my husband at the Hickory, when I heard you at the Hickory House, and, you know, like 40 years later, mm-hmm. they're still married. I said, all my Hickory House couples are still married.
That's good.
Including Steve Allen and
yes.
Jane. Well, after babbling away about this tune, I would love to hear it.
Okay,
Edie,
why not?
Edie is a Sweetie.
Okay. Thank you. job.
Oh, that's really nice. Now, you should have written a sequel after that. Edie's is not my sweetie anymore.
I thought about that, but I thought I'd better leave well enough alone.
Oh, that is really nice. I hope you're all listening to What's Going On In Here. My guest is Gerald Wiggins. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. I saw, Jerry, somewhere in, I was reading about you, that you worked with or wrote for or rehearsed with Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, yeah, that was a fun job. Actually, I got hired by the choreographer, Jack Cole. A friend of mine, Jackie Mills, was a drummer on this, but working for Jack Cole. And Jackie and I went to high school together in New York, music and art.
I remember Jackie Mills.
Yeah, so Jackie and I stayed in touch through the years. So when I got to L.A., he got me this job with Jack Cole as rehearsal piano player. And one of the perks of the job was coaching Marilyn Monroe. Well, I enjoyed that.
Well, that was some perks.
Yes, it was. Plus, well, I got paid for it also.
Tell me about her. I mean, did you get to talk to her? And
oh, yeah,
spend time
just
with
about
her?
Every day, yeah. And in fact, I spent more time with anybody else, you know, teaching her the tunes and everything. She was fabulous. Wonderful person to work with.
I bet she was.
She was.
Well, were you teaching her the tunes to sing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And was she a quick study? Could she learn easily?
Well, she worked hard at it. She didn't have probably the greatest voice, but when she finished doing the tune, it made you sit and take notice.
Well, she certainly had a nice teacher, that's for sure.
Hmm?
She certainly had a nice teacher.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, now, you did this with lots of people. Didn't you also play for Lena Horne among
us? Yeah, that was my second big job, I think. My first big job was working with Stephen Fetchett, of all people.
Oh, really?
That came about. I was working with Stephen Fetchett. In fact, Art Tatum got me the job with Stephen Fetchett. I used to go to a joint called Rubens in Harlem. I don't know if you know about it. It was a little after-hour place.
Yeah, I've just heard people talk about it.
And that's where I met Art and Ruben. And when Stephen Fetchett needed a piano player, they recommended me.
You know, I'm trying to think. I should know what Stephen Fetchett, were they like comedians?
Comedian, yes.
And did they dance?
No. He just did a stand-up act, comedy.
Okay. I mean, I've heard of them. I've probably even seen them on old movies, but for the moment, I couldn't think what they did.
Yeah, well, he's that slow-moving comic. Anyhow, we were working at the Brooklyn Strand, and Les Height had was back in the band. It was a West Coast band, and they were back in the show, and the Army took Les Height's piano player, and the police took Stephen Fetchett off the stage. So Les said to me, you don't have a boss, I don't have a piano player, how'd you like to go to California? So I came to California. And that's when I hooked up with Jackie again, and that's when I got the job working for Marilyn Monroe.
Well, did you stay in California from then on?
I was back and forth, I hadn't settled yet, but a few years later I decided the weather was so great. In fact, the day I got to California was Christmas Day and 100 degrees, and I loved it because I knew it was in New York at that time.
Well, at some period there, the Army came and got you too, didn't they?
Yes, they got me in 1944. I'd been working at Orpheum with Benny Carter, and as a rule, we'd leave town right after a job, but this time we went to Billy Berg Spring Swing Club, and then I got to work that night. There were my greetings.
Oh, boy.
Which wasn't too bad, but I got in the service, and a few days later, here comes Benny Carter, Nat King Cole, and Savannah Churchill doing a show for the Army, and I'm in Army fatigues, and I almost cried my heart out.
Oh, I can imagine. And you should have been in the show.
Yeah, I was supposed to do the tour with him.
Benny Carter's a fabulous guy.
Oh, he is that, yes. Benny has been very helpful to me all through my career, and I owe him a lot.
Oh, he's a great man. Well, how about us doing a duet? What do you think?
That sounds wonderful. What do we do?
You want to try Gone with the Wind?
All right.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh, and I thought that was really nice.
Oh, that was fun.
But, you know, I could get very selfish with that kind of a nice background.
Well, just go ahead and get selfish. It's all right. I'm having the ball
play
myself.
Like ten choruses. Oh, that's such a good tune. That's one's been around a long time, too.
Mm-hmm.
I probably learned that off the BBC. Well, back to the Playing for Singers era, you also did a lot of writing for the movies, didn't you?
Not really writing. What happened, I'd play things while I was working with the singers, and the staff arranger would pick it up and take it. You know, in those days, you didn't give the rehearsal piano player any credit.
That's a shame, because some of the great musicians were rehearsal pianists.
That's the way it was in those days, you know, so nobody complained. In fact, I did get credit on a couple of tunes in Let's Make Love, I think. One was Strip City, I think, was one I got credit for that. And there was another thing we did, Wow, you know, just off the top of our heads, and got credit for that.
Well, did you also, like, arrange things for big bands or orchestras?
I've done a little of that, yes. But I didn't do too much of it until I asked Benny Carter to show me something about arranging. And he said, well, Jerry, I don't have time for that, but I'll send you to a guy that can really teach you. And he sent me to Spud Murphy, Lyle Murphy.
Oh, yeah.
A fantastic man. And when he finished with me, he's not quite finished. I've been going to him since 1948.
Oh, you're still going?
Yeah, still going.
I love that. Musicians never cease to learn things.
Spud's got a system. He's called an equal interval system, and it's...
Equal interval system.
Yes.
Now, what's that? Can you explain it?
Oh, he does some terrific things. Like, he'll take fourths. You know, everybody plays fourths. He says, if you don't like that, you say, all fourths.
Oh, that sounds great. Yeah. And that has that full, big sound. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like an orchestra.
Yeah. No problem at all.
What a sound. That's terrific. You know, we ought to be on TV because you have such a smile and sort of a, like you're always laughing, got a humorous sort of smile and your glasses up on your head.
I'm pretty happy nowadays.
You seem to be. You just have a very happy look. It's great to see that because I think it's one of the good things about being a musician. You can... enjoy what you do.
Well, yes.
And I know so many people that hate their job.
I know, it was 9 to 5, yeah. Oh, I'm glad I never got hung up into that. Now I'm doing something I like to do, and plus I get paid for it. What more can you ask, you know?
And you're doing more of it, and you're doing more of your own things, aren't you?
Yes, like I am now, yes. And that's very gratifying, believe me.
I mean, this Maybeck thing was very nice.
Oh, that was a great series. And you were on it, too.
Yeah,
yes.
I was on it, too, and I was very proud to be on it. Well, I guess all you people out there should be let in on this secret that we're having a very nice time in here playing and talking. My guest is Gerald Wiggins. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. Had an idea. I'd like to play. You played one of your tunes for me. I'd like to play one of my tunes for you.
Sounds wonderful.
Yeah, this one's called Time and Time Again. Thank you.
That was lovely.
Thank you.
And I loved the way you kept that rhythm going without the boom-ching, boom-ching. I felt it all the way. It's fantastic. I think I might have to alter my style some.
Oh, listen, you know, I admire people that play solo piano and keep a wonderful time going because it's really
but
hard.
You kept the time going there. I was patting my foot. All the way.
I remember having a lot of conversation with Bill Evans about this, and he said to me that's why I hardly ever play solo piano, because I get so nervous worrying about keeping a time feeling without actually playing.
But what you did was perfect, and the time was there all the way.
Gee, you just made my day, Jerry.
Well, it's the truth.
Really did.
Okay.
Well, let's see now. You played something on your Maybach record that was so nice that I hadn't heard, maybe not ever, called Night Mist Blues.
Oh, yes, that's an old Amma Jamal tune. I hadn't heard it in years. I was over in Europe with George Wein's group, his act. A guy invited me over to his house, and we were playing tapes, and he happened to play this Night Mist Blues, and I was fascinated by it. So I listened to it and learned it. Then I got with my teacher, Spud Murphy. He says, well, why don't you change the harmony a little bit, which I did, and that's where I recorded it.
No, that is really nice. I'd love you to play it for me and all our listeners.
All right, we'll do.
Okay.
Thank you.
Boy, that's Bud Murphy is a gem. He really...
Yeah, he moves him around a little bit.
I mean, that last set of chord changes was really terrific. But you know that tempo, for me, that's very hard to play. That's slow, slow yet with a beat. I was trying to think of a tune I used to like to play at that tempo, and I was always afraid of rushing a little bit, and that's this one. Let's see. Hardly ever play at that tempo because I'm scared. But that is a really nice. It's not exactly a blues, though, is it?
It's just 8-bar blues, really.
But it's very nice. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking while you were playing, you've probably made more records as a sideman than on your own, haven't you?
Oh yes. Mm-hmm.
I was looking at the list, and I mean, it's a pretty long list of credits there. And I saw you worked with a bass player that I used to know very well, Gene Wright.
Oh, Gene, yes, sure. The senator.
The senator. I was trying to think of what we used to call him. He was, because I saw him a lot when he was with Dave Brubeck, and my drummer left to go with, Joe Morello left to go with Dave.
Oh, yeah, Joe was a wonderful drummer.
And... But I always loved Gene. He was such a funny guy.
Oh, yes. Yeah, he's fully in. He's just gung-ho all the time.
And then somebody else you worked with, Major Holly, the mule.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was my favorite, yeah. Major was my guy.
I miss him.
I miss him, too.
It's terrible. These guys are just disappearing. You know, we just have to make the most of them while they're here.
While they're here, true.
Goodness. I was just thinking while you were playing of another tune that I would love to hear you do. Johnny Green, Body and Soul.
Oh, yeah. That's everybody's all-time favorite, I think.
Well, but I was also thinking, I wonder what Spud Murphy would do with this one harmonically.
Well, let's see what happens.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
that's such a wonderful tune. Really lends itself to so many different ideas, which just gave it the full treatment. Goodness. Really, really nice. And we're having a very nice time in here playing and talking. My guest is Gerald Wiggins. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz.
Say, Marion, how about doing one of those old chestnuts? Please Be Kind. It's been one of my favorite tunes for years, and I'm sure you do a super job on it.
This is something else I learned off the BBC. It's sitting down at the piano and trying to pick it out. So I'll sit down at the piano and try to pick it out again.
Give it a whirl.
See what happens.
Great.
All right, here goes.
Lovely. I think Spud Murphy was looking over your shoulder.
Jesus,
you came up with some new changes there.
I think I need Spud Murphy. I should stay out here a little longer. If he's listening, I'll see how much he charges to help me along a little bit there.
Yeah, you're in good shape. You have no problems at all.
You know, this is so much fun. I can't believe that it's we're almost to the end of it, Jerry.
Already? But, my goodness.
But there's a couple more things I wanted to ask you. Pertaining to the fact that you're doing more of your own thing these days. They gave you your own day here in L.A.?
Oh, yes.
Gerald Wiggins Day?
That's right. It must have been 1988, I think, yeah.
How
that
fantastic.
But did you go through town? Surprise to me.
You didn't go through town on a float or anything
no,
like
no,
that?
No, nothing like that. But it was fun.
I think that's great. Yeah. I mean, that really attests to your
superiority. Well, actually, I didn't realize I had that many friends. The people that showed up, you know, you have a big ballroom and you know everybody in there, that's frightening, you know?
And I'll bet you had to play at your own party, didn't
you? Yes, but that was fun, too.
Yeah, I'll bet it was. Well, you seem like somebody that can make everything fun. You know, you just come off that way.
That's what music's all about. It's something you really should enjoy.
Well, I've had such a good time having you here today, and now that we finally got to it, we'll have to do it again sometime.
I certainly hope so.
Well, let's wind up with something really easy.
Okay.
Now's the time.
That sounds great, yeah. Okay.
I'll just play the melody since you've got all those nice chords, and I can steal some. See, round in here.
Thank you.
I loved it.
We got through it. Okay.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with host Marian McPartland and her guest Gerald Wiggins, a program which originally aired in 1992. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer David Glover, mastering engineer Bill Sexton, executive producer William D. Hay. If you wish to contact us, our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. For more information about the artists and music on Piano Jazz, visit our website, pianojazz.npr.org. There you can listen to a recent program and also subscribe to our free weekly preview podcast, Piano Jazz Shorts. Support for Piano Jazz comes from Save America's Treasures, your partnership between the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Park Service Department of the Interior. Support also comes from Exxon Corporation, the Friends of Piano Jazz, the Lila Wallace Reader's Digest Fund, NPR, and the National Endowment for the Arts, ArtWorks. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and NPR. Contributors include the Pew Charitable Trusts, analyzing challenges facing the housing market and working to identify solutions at pewtrusts.org. And Post, maker of post-shredded wheat, 100% whole grain, no sugar or salt added. Recipes at postshreddedwheat.com. This is NPR.